Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, May the 20th, as we continue to move along here and hope and pray that we will get sports back in the not too distant future and just continue to find our way in this obviously tough time for many, many, many people. Yesterday we had some fun with the once and for all debating who was most important to the 2008 World Champions of Baseball, Philadelphia Phillies. Over the next couple days, I'm going to get into some more once and for all type stuff. As I mentioned, Friday is Gabe Kapler Day at WIP. We'll get in some Kapler talk on Friday. Tomorrow, some mini once and for all debates, Mitch Williams, maybe a couple others in there to get to. But today I wanted to do a check-in, as we often do, and you know, a couple times a week, try and just see where things stand in regard to the return for baseball. So I've seen a couple conflicting type of things. Yesterday, I'll start with this. CBS Sports' RJ Anderson had an article that put some positivity out there from the article. Major League Baseball and the Players Association are in the second week of conversations about the potential to play a modified 2020 season. While no agreement has yet been reached, at least one individual privy to the details of the talks thinks the discussion is trending in the right direction. Quote unquote, "Over the last 48 hours, it really feels like we're getting some stuff done," San Diego Padres catcher and union representative Austin Hedges told Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union Tribune. Hedges went on, "I really do believe we're to a point where a decision will be made. I feel very confident it's going to happen." That is terrific stuff right there. that's what you want to hear. Again, I have maintained throughout this whole process that I think in the end, cooler heads will prevail and the players, the owners will figure out that it is far more detrimental to the sport and thus all of them on both sides of the negotiating table, far more detrimental for baseball not to happen over money at a time when, as we've discussed, you know, many times there are millions and millions of people who are out of work and this country is headed for a depression, recession, whatever you want to call it, is in one. People are stuck in their homes. You know, people are waiting to be able to go back to work if they do still have jobs. I mean, there is so much people in this country have to deal with right now. And then to look at baseball, which is supposed to, in theory, in this time, potentially, hopefully be able to offer a beacon of light for America, as you know, showing us that sports can come back, that we can start to get back to normal, that and again, you know, who knows with the whole fluidity of it all, and you know, we really don't know, but the idea being that if it's safe and healthy, and we talked on Monday about the safety and health protocols that are being proposed for a return and the extensive things like no spitting, no high fives, no hugs, all this stuff, which all makes sense. But the point being that if they could figure it out from a health and safety perspective, that it is just, it would be a disaster, like literally a disaster. A disaster for these guys on both sides of the aisle, as we've talked, the millionaires and billionaires, to not be able to figure this out would be an epic disaster for the sport. And I'm assuming, I'm hoping that that blows through the rest of the stuff, the rubbish, as it were, that in the end, that there are enough people in that room, enough people at the negotiating table, enough people who have a voice on either side of the aisle, that they say, listen, no matter what, that can't happen, because that would destroy our sport. And ultimately, I think that's where we're in. And I do think this this positivity from Austin Hedges is really good to see, because we've seen a lot of negativity from players, right? I mean, we saw the Blake Snell thing. We've seen Bryce Harper coming out defending that. You know, we've seen on the other side of it, a former player, Teixeira, come out and say, you know, just play for pennies on the dollar. This and that, there's been so many public things spoken. Austin Hedges is really the first, and someone who is a union representative, so involved, who is so confident. The article goes on. The main points of conflict between the league and the union are believed to be player safety and compensation. Over the weekend, The Athletic published highlights of a 67-page proposal the league sent to the union, detailing plans for testing, travel, and other considerations. We talked about that on Monday. The article goes on. Financially, the owners are angling for a 50-50 revenue share to help recoup the revenue they'll lose by playing games behind closed doors. That proposal is a departure from the agreement the two sides reached in March. Hedges, for his part, seems open to the idea of reducing pay. He says, "We've got to make sacrifices anyways," he said. "Let's make those sacrifices now with the future in mind. Everything we're working for is not to make this year extra special. It's let's get through this year as best we can, cut our losses, but make sure 2021 and beyond, the league is going to be in great shape." That's fascinating. That's the first time. I mean, look, Scott Boras came out and said, not a penny less, this and that. But it was the first time I've heard a player say, hey, listen, whatever it takes here, we got to figure this out. And I've been very clear in my stance that I believe that the owners are more wrong here than the players. As that sentence just mentioned, there was a deal agreed to in March. And now the owners are saying, I don't know about that. We shouldn't do that. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any question that the owners are in the wrong here. They just are. And I understand that. I understand that they're going to lose money. I get it. I'm not, you know, saying it's fair. It's not fair. I get it. It sucks. It's not. It stinks. Like, you know, there's no other way to put it. I totally get that. But at the same time, you made a deal. And it's your short-sightedness to make it with the possibility that you would have to come back a couple months later and renege on it immediately. But for the owners to make that deal and then to come back and then, you know, not just force the players, try and force the players into taking this other deal, but also to publicly paint the players as the malcontents and the people who are causing this to not happen. We want to do a deal. It's these guys. I mean, that's, I don't know. I understand why it's a contentious relationship. I think that's pretty clear between the owners and the players. And I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do think that, and like Hedges alludes to, I do think that maybe it is potentially something where the players say, all right, maybe we'll take eat a little more this season to get it back next season. Maybe there's some sort of potential for a deal where the players get a slightly reduced salary but get a bump payment next year or something like that. Maybe that's the type of thing they're angling for. Again, ultimately, this is all negotiation. I mean, the problem is, like, you know, it would have been much better for baseball if these negotiations were happening behind closed doors instead of in the public. Obviously, technically, they're happening behind closed doors. But the idea that these negotiations have been debated about and floated in the public and all that is a real problem for Major League Baseball, because ultimately there is so much opportunity for goodwill here. There is so much opportunity for them to say for the good of the country and all that. And, you know, arguing about money in public is just a bad look. You know, it really does leave a sour taste in your mouth about the whole thing when this should be something that is almost unilaterally positive. The idea that baseball could be back on our television screens by July, I mean, would be amazing. And I think it would be something that would really be a boon for so many people in this country. It would be something that restores a level of normalcy. It's something that provides us a distraction and entertainment when we absolutely need it the most, when there are no live sports, there's nothing. You know, if even think about it, July 1st, I mean, the last time games were played, sports games, were March 11th. We, no matter what, we're going from March 1st to July 1st, at March 11th to July 1st, at best, you know, best case scenario, with no sports. That has never happened in my lifetime or in many people's lifetimes. It is unprecedented. And the return of sports and baseball, having the opportunity to be that sport that returns first, it should be nothing but positivity surrounding this sport. It should be heroic almost. And obviously that's probably a step too far. There are true heroes out there on the front lines and fighting this virus and doing everything they can do, but there would be a real patriotism, a real positivity, everything surrounding this sport. And instead it just feels like right now, and I think it still can be, like, again, if they can just figure this out and it doesn't begin any more publicly, any more public animosity, if they can avoid that and they can just figure this out, I think still there is the real opportunity for people to come out and say baseball's back and that's all that matters and yay baseball and blah, 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 blah. But right now it just feels like everyone's angry. I think the number one sentiment surrounding baseball right now is shut up and figure it out. Shut up and figure it out. I mean, that, right? Isn't that how you feel? Isn't that how you feel? Because I again, and I'm someone who feels strongly that the players are on the right side of this, that the owners are the ones who should take the brunt of this, you know, financial burden here. They are the owners of the team. They own that responsibility for the team when things aren't going their way. They made a deal with the players in March. They aren't willing to open their books to show the players what really is happening from a financial perspective. How much are you really going to lose? How much have you made over the last 16 years? We know that they've made profits 16 years in a row. So we know that these guys are not hurting from that perspective. And, like, yeah, it could be a rough year, I guess, comparatively without revenue in the stadiums, but you're still going to get TV money and potentially the potential for higher TV money, higher ad pricing. I mean, you could probably charge whatever the hell you want right now if you're the only freaking sport out there doing its thing. So while I am staunchly on the player's side in this whole thing, like, very openly, as you know if you've listened to this show, I still just want them to figure it out. You know, I don't, again, I would rather see the players suck it up and take the hit than not see baseball. So, again, while I'm on the player's side, I think the biggest side that we are all on is just figure it out. Enough. Enough of this. Enough of this public squabbling. There is so much hurt and sadness in this country. No one needs to see it. No one needs to see the owners crying poor. I mean, that's crazy town to me. I don't need to hear about how much money the owners are losing. Guess what? I'm losing money. Everyone's losing money. People losing jobs. Just shut up and figure it out. And I think that has been the biggest problem with this whole thing. And again, I'm someone who thinks they will get this figured out. You know, and again, the health and safety part of it is a whole separate ball of wax. And, you know, obviously a 67-page proposal about health and safety is good to see that they're taking everything seriously. They're accounting for a lot of different situations, but, you know, we don't know the health and safety. We don't know what will and will not happen. It's all fluid there, but assuming they all feel comfortable with that part of it, enough. Enough. No one needs to hear about it. No one needs to hear about it. Go behind closed doors, shut the hell up till it's done, and come back and say, hey, we figured it out. We're playing baseball. Here's what we're doing. Get creative with this. Because both sides putting their feet in the sand and drawing a line is a horrible decision right now. Horrible decision. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. That's the word for it. So I'm sure you all feel the same way. Like, who wants to hear about this? Who wants to? And again, even if you have a side like me, I'm on the player side. I'd rather have the players lose this argument than not have baseball or than hear any more of this cry poor from millionaires and billionaires. It just isn't cutting it. Like, it's just not cutting it. Stop arguing in public. Figure it out. Bring baseball back when this country needs it the most. And shout out to Austin Hedges for being like the first player I've read who just seems like, all right, we're going to figure it out and whatever it takes, we'll do it. I mean, that's all anyone wants to hear. It's all anyone wants to hear. Some interesting notes along these lines yesterday, too, from John Heyman as he chimed in with a few tweets about it. It's so interesting is the way it's like kind of like Jeff Passan's been all over this. He's had a bunch of interesting articles and stuff. He's the one who on Monday we talked about his article about the health and safety proposals. Bob Nightingale getting scoops. He's had the idea for multiple proposals that have come out and whatnot. And then now Heyman, it just does seem like they're kind of flitting this information around from reporter to reporter, and everyone's kind of getting in on it. Heyman on Twitter, a few tweets. Now, Heyman, sometimes as he's tweeting with speed, has some typos, so I'll do my best. Heyman says, MLB's latest plans call for postseason to end in late October as usual or early November, at least at the latest. Recent talk of second wave of COVID-19 has scuttled the thought of play going later into November for now. Club's big concern, playing regular season games than having to cancel postseason games. Sure, that makes sense. I think everyone's scared of a second wave. I think that's something that, and again, talking before about this whole situation, that is something that's impossible to account for. And, you know, you can only plan around it and hope that things go in a good way than in a bad way. I think, you know, there are many people who are scared of a second wave, and especially if you open things back up and everyone goes back to work and stuff, and then all of a sudden it comes back with vengeance. That's a terrifying, terrifying thought because of all we've had to do over the last few months to help bend this curve. So that's a scary thought. But I understand baseball wanting to focus on getting it in, which is interesting because that does limit the options for neutral sites. It's not like they want to get it in, which I understand. There's more from Heyman. Both MLB and players get how devastating it would be to not play over money gap. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred has a 25-year history of getting deals done, most with lead negotiator Dan Halem. There does seem to be a gap, and the sides seem fairly entrenched, but too much to lose. That tweet basically sums up my whole thought process on this, again, other than the fact about stop arguing in public, but that's a whole separate discussion. But I think that tweet really sums it up well, that ultimately, even though both of these sides are fairly entrenched, as Heyman put it, that money would be just a devastating reason for this gap to not be closed. Like, you can't do that. There's too much riding on it. This is not just a normal season of baseball. This is a season of baseball when there haven't been sports since March 11th, when the country is hurting in a way that it never has in any of our lifetimes. Like, this is more. It means more. It has to mean more. So I think I appreciate they put that there, and that's kind of look, Rob Manfred has not been a great commissioner so far, in my opinion, but he's always been a great negotiator. He's always been a great deal maker. He's always had that on his side, and I just believe that there is no way Rob Manfred is going to let this play out the way, you know, it could play out, where we don't have baseball. We don't have baseball because of a money issue. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. And again, if it happens, I think it's going to be the biggest disaster in the history of baseball. More from Eamon. MLB people think it's clear, and they have it cold in emails as well, as the late March agreement that prorated pay for players is predicated on fans attending games. Union leaders disagree, and players seem pretty firm for now in seeking to keep it as prorated, as we kind of know. Eamon goes on. MLB hasn't yet made the new offer to players, but has painted a bleak economic picture for season without fans at games. MLB has suggested hypothetically they'd lose $1.5 billion even if 82 games were played for free, no pay or play. That's not happening, but Union is skeptical of the numbers. Yeah, I agree, and I understand that. That goes back to the whole, hey, open your books, show them for real what you're losing, and then it's a whole different discussion. I mean, it's one thing to, like, I don't understand why the players would trust the owners here. Why would the players say, oh, yeah, I'm sure the owners aren't lying to us here. Why? Why would they? There's too much at stake. Heyman goes on. MLB in recent talks gave the union two options. One, negotiate a new financial arrangement, something other than the prorated pay for players playing games with no fans in attendance. Or two, wait until the coronavirus to clear to the point where fans can attend games. Obviously, that is not going to happen. There's no way you would. I mean, look, and if they do, then again, then we get back to the, you know, it's a disastrous situation. If baseball, because of the gap between money and the decision to, you know, wanting to prorate money versus revenue split, whatever, if that is the reason, again, and health and safety is a different thing. If health and safety is the reason they can't play, fine. That's what happens. But if money is the reason they can't play, it is an epic all-time disaster. One more from Heyman. He says, MLB has been espousing a 50-50 revenue split behind the scenes, but no formal proposal has been made to the players yet. In any case, players do seem very much resolved not to agree to a revenue-sharing proposal on principle, which they view as a form of a salary cap and a bad precedent. Yeah, and I get it. And look, I think that's all interesting stuff from Heyman. I think he's kind of laying out there a lot that we already know, but a lot of succinctly putting it how it is. I think, again, I think the big takeaway for me, I don't think the players will agree to a revenue split. As it said on principle, I think they're going to have to meet in the middle somewhere. I don't think the owners are going to agree to the deal they signed in March to just give the players prorated play. I think there's going to have to be some sort of incentive down the road for players where it's maybe prorated pay, but not quite for half a season plus a payment next season or something like that. And again, I do think that unless the owners were willing to open their books and show the players exactly what's happening, I don't think the players will trust them on that, nor should they. I go back to that Heyman tweet. And first, Austin Hedges positivity. A player, a union rep, talking about this. I appreciate that positivity. And him basically saying, this has to work. We have to figure out a way to make it work. This is too important. We'll figure out a way to make it work. And then that tweet from Heyman talking about Rob Manfred and the idea that Rob Manfred is 25 years of deal making and that ultimately he is not going to let. Look, think about this. Rob Manfred, I mean, we still kill. I think Bud Selig has probably become underrated as a commissioner, and he has had some, he had some bad times and the steroids and all that stuff, however you look at all that. But people have still not forgiven the 1994 baseball strike. I mean, that's something that still goes on, you know, and it took a long time for people to come back to baseball. Obviously, the 1998 home run chase and then, you know, the steroids of it all and all that, but that kind of brought people back. But Bud Selig is still dinged for that. Like, Rob Manfred does not want to be the commissioner who is at the helm of Major League Baseball during the worst moment in its history, if that is how this plays out. So, I don't think that's being too dramatic. I think if everything else works, health, safety, if everyone says, hey, you know what, we can play baseball this season, and the reason they don't play is because the owners and the players couldn't agree on money, it is the worst moment for baseball since the Black Sox scandal, since the integrity of the game was ruined in a World Series. It's that bad. 100+ years ago. That's how bad I think it is. And I think that Rob Manfred knows how bad it is. I think that in the end, Rob Manfred, whatever it takes, we'll find a way to bridge this gap and make this work because it is too important on too many levels. So that is what I think. That is what I hope. And we'll continue to watch it. We'll continue to track it as it happens and continue to bring you information. And assuming there's no more this week, we will have some fun the next 2 days. Once and for all week on Friday, we'll talk game. Tomorrow, we'll dive into some of the other fun debates in Phillies history. Mitch Williams, 1993, a few others. It'll be a good time. We'll dive into that as well. And then, of course, obviously, as things continue to happen, as we get more information, we'll continue to talk about it and hopefully continue to move towards a return to baseball. So until tomorrow, thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.